So at this time, we're going to have the hearing for Mr. Cox, and the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will conduct the hearing in his absence, inasmuch as he is our understanding that he has waived his appearance before the board.
This is a parole hearing for John B. Cox, ADC number 44452. This is a hearing for a regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. Mr. Cox is currently serving a life sentence for manslaughter. His sentence began on February 17th, 1990. He became parole eligible on September 15, 2015. He received a life imprisonment sentence to serve no less than 25 years. According to his inmate progress report, Mr. Cox does not have any release plans as he is serving a life sentence. If he was released at any point, he will need an extensive amount of counseling. He does have some violations that he received. On March 2nd of 17, he was disobeying a verbal. He's guilty. January of 17, he was disrupting a count. That was a minor violation. He had another minor violation on January 12th of 17. And then he had another one in April of 16. He has had the entire time that he's been incarcerated poor institutional behavior, assault on staff, and confrontation with staff, to include spitting in the face of some of the staff members. Some of the, and because I have, after going through this, I'm going to go over some of the recent violations that the tickets that he was rolled up on. This is one on February 20 at 0940 hours. Our Sergeant Lingdew, badge number 2031, gave inmate Cox several directives to submit to restrain inmate Cox, refused all directives until chemical agents were utilized. Inmate Cox was placed on report. Report completed by Sergeant Lillinger. Then it has another one, and there's several of these in there, that on January 25th of 17, or approximately 0408 hours, inmate was covered completely from head to toe with his blanket. He says that it gave him four different directives that it was time for count and asked him to show his face, in which he refused to do so. So any body movement, no response to any verbals. He was written up again on that time and placed on report. And then he got another one that on March 3rd of 2016, on the below date, approximately time, form account, on wing ID, inmate Cox had the face covered and advised that he was form account, face ID. He failed to respond to numerous attempts to show his face. It was time they began to initiate ICS, then yelled at him to stop, and then he showed his face. He was verbally placed on. And this one is another one that was on June 30th of 2016. It says on the above date, P.A. King was conducting watch cell interviews, and inmate Cox spit from the crack in the door, striking parole officer, the P.A. King, in the face. He was not wearing protective glasses at the time. He went to medical and was immediately flushed his eyes. And there were several incidents in there that there was assaults or strikes with the victim. I do want to make a note that according to the paperwork that we do have, that inmate Cox refused to sign on his paperwork, according to the information that we have derived from staff and from our own staff, that he has refused to appear on his behalf at this time, as well as we received some information. However, we have not received the paperwork that he neglected to waive his hearing at this time. We're going to go ahead and continue on with this hearing. He has been before the board in June of 15. For parole, absolute discharge, and he did. It came again in September 16th for parole, home arrest, and absolute discharge. During both those times, he was denied. He has an extensive record, about 3.5 pages of violation that he has received, with some of the most recent being in 2016 and 17. I do want to make note that, you know, it appears that from 2010 to 2016, he didn't have any violations. It seemed like almost 10 years that he went without having any violation. I do want to make a note of that, that that's actually there in his file. He was actually also convicted of aggravated, two counts of aggravated assault as well as burglary. However, he received 7-year sentence, 7-year sentence, and a 6-year sentence, and those sentences are now expired. According to the court documents that we have, this involved an incident with his family. I'm going to just read some of the information from the pre-sentence report. During an interview with the detective, Mr. Cox stated that his mother tried to slap him while pointing to his right cheek, said he knocked her down. And these volunteers said that he was not the natural son of Mrs. Cox, that he was adopted and as a German influence. He went on to say that he had been at Parker Swap and purchased some magazines containing those articles. His sister, Janet Lane, then told the defendant to get his stuff and get out of his mother's house. According to Mr. Cox, he stated that his sister was mad at him because he had killed the dog that night before that was given to him by his girlfriend. He stated that he beat the dog to death with a stick and stated that he loved every minute of it. The defendant then stated the victim came at him and was about to strike him when he swung his left arm from the side and blocked her right arm. She also fell to the ground as a result of his action. Then made the statement, why did that fragile old, he used another word, I'm just going to say, why did that fragile old lady attack me? And at that point is when the detective told him that his mother, Miss Pearl Cox, was dead. The deputies noted that he had an apparent genuine look of surprise on his face and did not respond for several seconds. He then said, you're kidding, right? The defendant then went on to make the statement, statements like, she had one foot in the grave anyway, and if she's dead, I have no sorrow. And he also had spent 7.5 years previously in prison. He has had two board hearings in which I have previously stated he had been denied Maricopa County Attorney's Office, submitted a letter asking the board to deny clemency. This letter is dated September 20th to 16th. There are a number of letters that were attached here. There's also numerous letters in here from the family asking to deny parole to Mr. Cox. I'm just going to read a paragraph coming from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. On February 17, 1990, the defendant got into an argument with his sister and his mother. He struck his sister, and while she fled to find help, the defendant hit his mother, Pearl Cox, on the side of the head. Pearl died less than an hour after she was struck by the defendant. According to the police report, the defendant was told that his mother died of her injuries. He made statements such as, she had one foot in the grave anyway, and if she's dead, I have no sorrow. The defendant was found guilty of manslaughter and was sentenced to life in prison.
Honorable Mr. Johnson, they did send an updated letter dated December 11th, 2017. So, yes, for the record, this is the Maricopa County Attorney's Office.
Okay. So that is the information. I do have notification here that there are several victims that are in attendance that would like to speak in reference to this matter. I am going to see, does everyone want to speak? Okay. For those of you who may have speak, I'm not going to pick the order, but I would ask you just to please come up to the mic, please state your name and present any information that you would like to present to the board at this time.
My name is Andrea Miles. I speak on behalf of the Lane family. Janet, my sister Adrian, and myself were in the house that day. So we were there when it happened. And we just ask that you continue to tonight, parole. For the maximum, I believe, is 1 year. We feel that his release would be a threat to us and to society.
Board have any questions? All righty, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name's Glenda Rowe, and I'm Johnny's sister. At this time, there's only three other living children from my mother. I just lost a brother before Thanksgiving. There's a sister that's, she'll be 84 December. And I have a brother in Missouri, which just got through bouts of cancer. The story that you read from Johnny, I can understand that because he has never shown remorse for anything he's ever done. He was always threatening my mother, calling her. You said it very nicely, but he didn't use lady. It was the old bitch or whatever, very degrading to her. He thought he was Hitler's son of the German descent. He had always said he was going to kill her. She should be dead. Thank God the old man died and saved him from killing him. So I don't think Johnny has remorse. And as far as him getting out, he's made threats. Will he try to do it? I have no doubt in my heart, mind, or soul that he will try. Probably me, since he knows where I live. And he did threaten me continually. But I wasn't quite as old as my mother. He made statements totally to me. I could kill her one hit right here. He had grabbed me one time in the bathroom with an arm across me. At this point, he would have nobody on the outside that would be there to support him. My 84-year-old sister, she's going in for heart surgery replacement tomorrow for her pacemaker. She's scared to death he's going to get out and come and kill her because he sent her letters threatening her. So all I can say is please take it upon consideration that me personally, I have no doubt he's not rehabilitated. He shows no remorse. And when he gets out, I have no doubt that he's not going to try to hurt somebody, whether it be a family member or someone on the street. And it perhaps sounds pretty cold-hearted for me, but I know the boy. I've helped raise him. He lived with me off and on. He had chances. He's never wanted to work. I don't know if he's working in wherever you guys have him or what, but at this point, all I can say is take in consideration all that I've said and hopefully wait at least a year before he does come up on probation again, or that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Board, have any questions? Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, ma'am. And I certainly don't mean to be cold. Thank you for appearing before this board. Was his behavior consistently like this for his lifetime that you knew him?
He always had a behavior problem, attitude problem, like the world owed him something. Mom and dad should just let him have it, and blah, blah. His philosophy about prison or being in jail, oh, I'll serve my time. They have to let you out. The first time he got out was when he started talking about killing mom and dad. And I thought, I tried to get him help. I paid his way through truck driving school, helping him get a job. He didn't work. And he was continuing. And I tried to warn my mother. But of course, you can't tell a mother. She's also, you know, he's just still mixed up, or he's still this, you know, he's, but no, he's always had the mentality, ever since he got out of prison the first time, that he was Hitler's child, or, and that mom and dad wasn't his mother and dad. And it just escalated from there and got worse and worse. And but yeah, ever since he was younger, he had juvenile issues. And did that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It certainly helps to get to know the inmate and to have an understanding of the case. So thank you for being so open with the board. Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
My name is Donald Boris. I'm Sharon Boris's husband, and this has been a very mental thing. He just needs to stay incarcerated. He's very dangerous, and he's made threats and promises that he probably will keep. And he just needs to stay in. Because if he comes out, he could kill someone. Somebody really, really bad. And I think he's a threat to society. He needs to stay in. As long as you guys can keep him there.
Thank you. Any questions of the board? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Okay, at this time, board have any questions? So at this time, the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, the board will make a decision whether to grant or deny parole for Mr. Cox. The board is now going into discussion. I'm going to start it off, and you know, it's obvious from the report and from listening to the victims that Mr. Cox is definitely a threat to society, and sealed by the number, you know, although there were three people who got up and testified, there are a number of people here in the victim's family, and from reading the reports, they are, you know, definitely in fear of Mr. Cox, and he can carry out his threats and his actions, and he's doing some of the same things while he's incarcerated with their violent assaults against the correction officers, as well as the people that are there where he's incarcerated. I think that Mr. Cox is definitely a threat to society, but even more importantly, a threat to this family, who are living in fear that if he was released, that he has made threats to harm the family, that, you know, there's definitely
you know, fearing by his actions that he's done, that he does not have any remorse, and by striking and killing his own mother, he did have no remorse for that, according to the report and the detectives that actually handled that. So my recommendation would be to deny absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest for Mr. Cox. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board, and I did want to ask a question, Ms. Rittenhouse. You may be able to answer this for me. I don't know if it's, if they can do that, but is there a way that Mr. Cox's communications from prisons can be monitored so that he's not having any contact or communication with his family where they're receiving threats or in fear?
I mean, they scan mail. They can't read it, but they can scan it.
Ms. Westbrook, were you going to say something?
I agree with that. They do monitor phone calls and...
And I don't know if as this board, Dr. Wright, you may, if we could just make a request that, or you make a notation that, you know, the families in theory have received communication, or appears to receive communications or threats. I mean, this is a real situation where, you know, they're capable of carrying out those any threats or any communication that he may have. So those are my recommendations. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Ms. Rittenhouse.
The other issue would just be the set off.
We'll do the one year set off.
Which the family is requesting.
Yes. Mr. Quinones.
Yes, I wanted to follow up on that too. Just, I'm pretty sure they're aware of this, and I don't want it to be defensive, but in the state of Arizona, we have no mechanism for a set off beyond 1 year, and it's something we vote on. It's unfortunate that we don't have that mechanism, and that some states do. I've seen families go through these type of situations, but I certainly would agree with it.
Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion to deny Mr. Cox absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. I'm also going to ask for a 1 year set off for Mr. Cox. The reasons for denial are going to be a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. I'm going to mark a serious and deviant offense. I'm also going to mark trauma to the victims because the victim's family were traumatized by this. I'm going to mark age of the victim because it was an elderly victim that was assaulted. I'm going to mark victim multiple victims as the family has been impacted by this. I'm going to also mark victim harassment as the family has been threatened. We'll also mark a history of assaultive behavior, prior criminal history as he did do time in prison, definitely poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infractions. He has a history of assaultive behavior. He definitely needs close supervision, lack of programming, poor no release plan, no family or community support. Is there anything else that the board would like me to? So that would be my motion with the 1 year set off and the recommendations at this time.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, so the board is voting to unanimously deny absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole from Mr. John B. Cox, ADC number 444-2. That is going to conclude the hearing at this time. He has a 1 year set off, and we did go over the reasons for denial. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time.